Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my exciting friend, Mr.
Dave Colonen.
Mr. Dave Colonen, who is the chaplain of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Giff. Good to be here.
Oh, that's great. Hey, you know, we've been talking about some of the leadership traits that we find in the Bible and how important they are in our very lives. You know something, Dave? I want to continue with that thought process today, because the Bible has so much information about how we succeed in this good old world we live in. And I want to talk about some of those traits. Jesus never felt he had to prove himself to anyone. Now, boy, you talk about a leadership trait. See, all of us are already important. We have nothing to prove to anyone, because you are the offspring of a very remarkable creator. You have the mind of Christ. I think those are pretty powerful words. When you say you have the mind of Christ, you don't really have to prove anything else, do you? I find that a remarkable statement. Your gifts and talents have been placed within you. Find what they are. Celebrate your gifts and your talents. Find ways to use those gifts to improve others and help them achieve their dreams and their goals also. But never, never, never exhaust and waste your energy trying to prove something to somebody else. You see, your worth must be discerned. Jesus knew this. Satan tempted him. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth of God. Written in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Jesus unstopped deaf ears. He opened blind eyes. He made the lame to walk. The dead were raised. Sinners were changed. Yet the jeers of the doubters continued to scream into his ears at his crucifixion. Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Remember them saying that? That's in Matthew chapter 27. What was Jesus' reaction to all of that? He was confident of his worth. He knew his purpose. He refused to let the taunts of the ignorant men change his plans. You are not responsible for anything but the honest efforts to please God. Keep focused. Stay focused on your work. Jesus did. And Jesus never felt he had to prove himself. That's a powerful thought process, Dave. You have any thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners on proving yourself?
Well, we're having to learn something new in our age and the day in which we live, and that's the problem with pain. We don't have pain because somebody cut us and blood's pouring out of us. Mm-hmm. We have pain because of other reasons that we sometimes don't even understand. Mm-hmm. And the world is full of pain. There are people today that they're not cut up or anything. They're not even bruised, but they have a pain. Let me tell you a story.
Sure.
A preacher opened a brand new church in his little community, said, maybe we can get a church going here. And a couple of months, they had 100 people. And so he invited one of his preacher friends, close friend, to be a help. Come on board and come into the church, and maybe you can preach on Wednesday night and I'll preach on Sunday. You know, that kind of mm-hmm. a thing. Just sure. Fit in where you can. Well, he came, and they had a good time. Church grew, and finally, the pastor said to his friend, "Hey, you know, I hear that you're teaching this, and I want to help you. That teaching is wrong. It's dangerous. It will not survive. So I'm going to ask you to change your message on Wednesday. Do not talk about that. That's a no-no in our church." Well, the next Wednesday, he went back and preached the same story again, in the same way. And finally, the pastor said, "Hey, we have to do something about it. We can't keep you here if you're going to preach that way." So his friend finally said, "Well, why don't I?" He said, "I have about 30 people out of the 100 that we have coming to our church. I have 30 of them coming on Wednesday. So I'll just take those 30 people and I'll go start another church." Well, you know what that did to the pastor? He said, "You know, I'm starting a church. You got 200 people and already I'm having a split. That's impossible in the first year. It usually takes years and years and years to have a split. And here's a guy that comes split my church right away." So he went on and they start building again. And the other guy took his 30 people and left. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, the friend's wife called the pastor and said, "I need to come and talk to you right now." Oh. And when she came into his office, she said, "Pastor, I have a real pain problem. I'm not cutting, I'm not bleeding, but I have a pain problem. My husband, he was out in the garage today and he hung himself." She said, "That's what I call pain." You know, the pastor, that was his best friend. Things turned totally wrong. And pain came, and sometimes we don't understand what life is all about. We don't understand that we really don't have to prove ourselves to the world. We just have to tell the story of Jesus and his love. So we do here on the station. We don't have our concepts that we live by and want to teach you to change the way you live, except that you want to do God's way, find the right pathway. So I'm trying to find out, you know, where do I have pain? I don't see any cuts. I don't see any blood. But there are certain ways that people come at us and things in life that, man, Dave Colon can live with pain too. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about it. I want to. I'm hiding in the corner somewhere with the pain that I think maybe I could control. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need to find a friend, and that's what we're talking about.
That's right.
Confronting and having Jesus help us find the place where people can give us help for our pain. You got that kind of pain?
Oh my goodness, everybody does, David. You're absolutely correct. That everybody has some kind of pain, whether it be visible or not visible. But we all need the Lord to help us overcome that pain. And the pain might go away this week, but there'll be a new pain next week. That's just life. That's just life. That's where we are.
Well, sometimes people aren't aware that they're producing pain in your body, in your life, somewhere in your brain. They say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. They don't care how they produce. They think they're helping you, but sometimes it's a very big hurting.
Yes, it is. Words can be very hurtful.
Even in a station like this where we're all Christians, we're all trying to do the same thing. You can say the wrong thing here at the station bring a lot of pain and walk out the door thinking, "Oh, boy, did I tell him, huh?" Mm-hmm. And if somebody could have just stopped you in your tracks and said, "You know, there was a lot of pain in what you said."
That's right.
So if you're there today and you're listening and you are hurting somebody, you've given so much pain to them, you need to be stopped. The power of God needs to come over your conversation and give to you the ability to say, "Hey, I'm doing the wrong thing. I got to go talk to that person. I got to tell them how much I appreciate them." Mm-hmm. Is that something worth talking about?
David, that's very powerful words. I can tell you're a pastor. There's no way I could improve on your thought process. I try to share the wisdom that we have, but your life's experiences echoes the words from right out of the scriptures. and I salute you. I'm glad you are my mentor. The pain you're talking about can be confrontational, and it can happen right here at the radio station. You're right.
I want to ask you a question today.
Sure, go ahead.
How do we avoid confrontations?
Confrontation, yeah.
Well, did Jesus do anything like that?
Yes, he did. Yeah, confrontation can be exhausting. It's unproductive. Quarreling and arguing is just simply a waste of time. Millions of dollars have been lost in negotiations because of that argumentative spirit you're talking about. Warfare is costly, and let's face it, nobody really wins when you have those kind of confrontations.
Well, Jesus, he was willing to talk about it. He was willing to bring up anger, and he didn't just go his way and forget everybody. He spoke up. Do you remember when he talked about anger?
Yes. In fact, I remember where you can find it in the Bible. Luke chapter 4, verses 28 to 30. You want me to read those verses to you?
Yeah.
And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill, whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Luke 4. Yes, indeed.
They're talking about the Lord.
Jesus went his way. That's right. He did not oppose them. He did not fight them. He had other plans. He was about his Father's business. I think it says that somewhere. He focused on his own goals and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 4 again. You see, Jesus did not withdraw into a depression. He did not enter into unnecessary arguments with those people. He didn't cower into a corner of his parents' home. No, he proceeded towards his mission and his purpose in life. Jesus never compromised, nor feared arguments. His use of the whip in the temple reflected his strength and war against evil. However, he did not waste his energy on trivial conflicts that did not merit his attention. Jesus was very powerful that way. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. If it be possible, as much as he lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans chapter 12. My, that's powerful scripture. Learn to keep your mouth shut. Those are powerful words. Didn't anyone ever tell you that? Of course, forever.
Well, then a lot of people tell me to keep my mouth shut.
Is that based on scripture? Let me read Psalms 21, verse 23.
You probably got it there.
Yes, indeedy. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. That's right. That's right out of the Bible. So that means keep your mouth shut. You see, Jesus was a peacemaker, and he avoided these conflicts, and he did not relish those kinds of difficulties. So your thought process is correct, Dave. We must stay busy. We must stay focused. We must find a mentor. We must stay unconfrontational. We must stay focused at hand. All of those things that you were alluding to and your worldly examples that you were giving are all based on scripture. So those are very sound thoughts that you're sharing, and we deeply appreciate. I'm sure our listeners do as much as I do.
You know what? I think that's the kind of thing we need to pray about.
Mm-hmm.
Can I pray?
Sure. Please do.
God, help me to keep my mouth shut and stay in an atmosphere of peace, and don't let me wander down a quarreling path. And a path filled with confusion. May we keep ourselves focused on the task that is at hand. Simple prayer, Lord, but it comes from the deep of our heart. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
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 Thank you, my friend. There's another trait that goes along with these words that you're sharing, and it's one that, yeah, it comes to mind pretty quick because I've been talking to my daughter about it. She has a lot on her shoulders. One busy lady works 70, 75 hours a week. Mm. And she works very hard at her job. She enjoys it, but she sure puts in an awful lot of hours. But it's delegation. She needs to learn how to delegate. I've been trying to share that with her. She's reluctant to delegate too much because she knows how to do it right, and she's one of the finest financial bankers in the state of Pennsylvania, and she wants to keep it that way. Well, you know, Jesus did that. He would delegate. Jesus knew his limitations, and we all have limitations. It is more productive to set 10 men to work for you than for you to do the work of 10 men. That's what delegation is all about. Delegation is simply giving others necessary instructions and motivation to complete a particular task. Oh, this takes time, and it takes patience, and some people just don't want to do that. But it is a long-term benefit. Jesus delegated to the multitudes. He instructed his disciples to have the people sit down. He gave them loaves and fishes to his disciples for distribution. Jesus sent his disciples to get a donkey. Remember that? That's delegating. Jesus gave instructions to the blind man to complete his healing. How about when Jesus sent his disciples into the city to prepare a special meal? So there's lots of such examples in the Bible. The early church leaders understood the importance of delegating. Now I'm leading up to five important things that you need to remember when you network with others. Then there's five simple rules for you to try to absorb. Number one, make a checklist of their specific responsibilities. Number two, carefully instruct them as to the total expectations of them. Number three on your list, give them the information and the authority necessary to complete those tasks. Number four, set a specific deadline to finish the task. And number five, clearly show them how they will be rewarded for their efforts. And take the time to motivate and educate those who you work with so they know exactly what you expect. Take the time to delegate. Jesus did. I think that's very important that we learn how to do that, David. Let's face it, on a score of 1 to 10, how effectively do you delegate responsibility to other people? What do you think, David?
Hey, I go to a staff meeting every week at our church, and there's 10 people there, and we're all responsible for different avenues of the church. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you can do the wrong thing, and it goes through the church real quick.
Yeah.
You can do the right thing, and everybody says, hey, we want to be on your team.
Yeah.
You know how to delegate, you know how to do the thing, and your department is prospering.
Well spoken.
Boy, it's amazing to go to the staff meeting and to watch how the pastor and the 10 of us are trying to find ways to delegate
mm-hmm.
leadership and say, you're not doing this right, and maybe you could change this and do this. It's life. Mm-hmm. I love life. I love to see how people cooperate with each other and how the church goes on. And you can witness somebody who's disgruntled with the leadership and
mm-hmm.
disgruntled with this, and they leave the church. And we all learn from that. How did we handle it? What did we say? What did we do? You're talking about something that put
very
a lot
important.
Of people. There's a lot of people listening to you and me today who do not go to church.
Yes.
They don't want to anymore. They've had their fill of people who did not say the right thing.
Yes.
People who get bugged about little things. Little things can drive people out of the church so quick.
Yes, I know it can.
Oh, man, you can. I was reading about a church that was running 1,600 and having a great time clear across the country. And in just a couple of weeks, 800 people left the church.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
That's a catastrophe. That's painful.
And a little thing is all it takes.
it probably was a little thing.
Yeah. That happened in our church with my niece and nephew. They were very actively involved with three young children. And they painted the nursery. Someone said, we have to buy the paint and hire a painter to come in. And they said, no. We'll do it for you. They bought the paint, and they painted their nursery themselves, the two of them. And after it was all finished and all said and done, all put back together again, somebody complained to them about the color. It hurt them so bad, they quit the church.
What?
They went to another church.
Oh, my goodness.
You see, sometimes people just do not know when to plug the pie hole. keep their thoughts to
themselves.
You
watch how much pain you give other people.
Yeah.
That's pain.
Yeah.
That's painful.
They accepted and delegated the effort to themselves, and we will do it, and we will go the extra mile. It won't cost you anything. And some people just do not think. And a little thing. It was just a little thing. And I don't really think the person who said the nasty thing meant anything really super bad. It's just that they probably would have liked a different color for whatever reason, and probably didn't say it in a bitter way, because I actually have to admit I didn't hear the words. I just heard the repercussions why my nephew quit going to our church. But I doubt very much if it was said in a harsh, cruel way. It's just the idea that somebody would say something negative after they put all that money and all that time and energy into a major project.
Well, that's the way church is.
Yes, it is.
We live our life. Church is valuable to us. And when somebody brings pain to us about our church going, it's easy to get discouraged. Satan uses that a lot.
Yes.
To destroy families.
Amen. Amen.
Did you know that there are 3,000 people who are leaving the church every day?
Every day.
Every day in America.
Every day.
3,000 people are leaving the church.
Where did we go wrong, David?
It's little icky-picky stuff. We haven't learned to delegate, and we haven't learned what pain is.
Yes.
If you're not bleeding, forget it. You know, we'll do what we please. But when people have pain, and when we talk pain, when we speak pain, when we throw pain, people are a little fickle these days.
That's right.
There's so many churches, we can try another one down the street.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And see, you know, like
my color paint, I'll go someplace else and paint. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You're wholeheartedly, I agree with you. The smallest thing can be very, very hurtful, and it can stay for a long time. So you really have to be careful. I try to smile all of the time just to cover up my own pain, because you never know what people are going through. And even though you might have something simple and you don't think it's harmful or it's not all that terrible, you only have one thing to share with somebody and it comes out in a negative way, that could be just enough to throw somebody over the edge on that particular day. You do not know what that person's going through. So you're right, David. We all have to learn to control ourselves. David, I look at that clock, and it tells me it's time for us to say goodbye.
Is it really over?
Oh, my goodness, it goes so quickly. But I hope our listeners understand that we are trying to share with them from our very hearts and our soul. We're trying to open the Scriptures and show them what the Scriptures say about the dynamics of this great world we live in. But for now, David, we must say goodbye. So long. Gift Briner saying so long for now.
Hey, Dave Colonna, I'm a part of this gang that comes to you every week. So trust other people besides yourself, and you'll get along great. Till then, bye-bye.